Praise the Lord, amen. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for this wonderful time you've given unto us. A time, Heavenly Father, to feed upon your word, to have fellowship with you and one another as well. Lord, you said it's not by man or by power, but it's by your spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, for your spirit to just guide us, lead us on, and give us insight and understanding as well as we dig into your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word says anxiety in their heart will cause depression, but a good word makes it glad. Yes. And Lord, you said it's the entrance of your word which brings understanding. We thank you this evening, Heavenly Father, for understanding as we share your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the planting of the Lord, part one. Yeah, thank you. The planting of the Lord, part one. Now, like I always say, as Paul would say, he would say, I won't be negligent to remind you of that which you already know. So this could be revision, this could be new to some people, but the bottom line is, it's the word of God. Amen. So Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, the Bible reads, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The first thing which you have to understand is God's desire is for his people to flourish. And when something is flourishing, it means it's growing, developing in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particular favorable environment. So which means flourishing has to do with the environment. So you can plant, you can take a seed and plant the seed in particular ground. If the ground is not fertile enough or healthy enough, or if you plant a seed in the wrong season, it won't grow. If I took a tropical mango seed from Africa and brought it here in the cold of upstate New York, it's a mango seed with the potential to grow and bear fruit. But for as long as that seed, is a tropical seed, is in the cold atmosphere or in a cold climate, it won't grow. But if I take the same seed and place it back in a tropical climate, guess what? It's going to grow. Now, I'm going to talk about this next week, so hold that thought for now. Now, the worst thing which can ever happen to anybody is when they stop growing and they stop developing. Amen. See, God wants us as his people to grow and develop, to continue growing and developing. See, we have to grow in our understanding of the scriptures. We have to develop in the way we conduct ourselves as believers. I have to develop my spiritual skills on how I communicate the gospel. But the moment we stop growing and developing, that is, it becomes detriment to anybody's walk with the Lord. Now, there's reasons why people stop growing. But the bottom line is, we have to continue growing. Keep growing and keep developing. Yes. The worst part or the worst thing which can ever happen is, if my son was to be 45 years old, yet he thinks like a 2-year-old, that would be a disaster. He has to grow and develop. Now also, growing and developing depends upon the environment as well. Like I said, God's plan is for us to flourish. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. He wants us to flourish. Planted in the house of God, we shall flourish in the courts of our God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 5 to 7. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase or the growth. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. See, Paul planted the church. Apollos watered the church, but God gave the growth and the increase. See, we are simply vehicles that God wants to use to transport his message, his gospel. And the Lord, or God, is no respecter of persons. God wants to use each one of us as a mode of transport to deliver his message. He can use anyone, but it's up to one to believe God can use us. If you don't believe that, it will be difficult to be used of God. You can be planted in the house of God, but if you don't believe God wants you to be a vehicle he can use, it will be difficult for you to be used. See, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you look down upon yourself like you don't have what it takes to minister or to be able to be a blessing, it's not going to happen. You have to believe you can do it. You have to believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, this is not our message. This is God's message. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not mathematics or geography or civics or anything. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So Paul planted, Apollos watered. Now, how did Apollos water the church? By teaching, which means expounding, and by preaching the word of God, which involves correction, edifying, exhorting, comforting, and counseling as well. In order for a person to flourish, they have to be under an atmosphere which involves correction biblically, which involves edifying biblically, which involves exhorting biblically, which involves comforting biblically, which involves counseling biblically as well. If you're a child of God and you're going through a spiritual problem, you need spiritual answers to a spiritual problem. You need the word of God to be defined, expounded into your life so you can understand where you're coming from or where you're supposed to go. Because like I said, the answers of God's word brings understanding. But if you're not planted in a certain place where there's that word, it'll be difficult for you to grow and develop. So Apollos taught and he preached the gospel. This is why the Bible says, don't neglect the assembling of together, as is the habit of some. See, not going to church or for fellowship is a habit which develops over and over and over. But it can be broken. But Paul said, don't neglect the assembling of together. Why? Because when you come together, you'll be exalted. You'll be stirred up unto love and unto good works. But if you stay away from fellowship, you won't be edified. You won't be corrected. You won't be comforted. You won't be counseled. Are you with me? How is it when you come together that one has a psalm? One has a hymn? One has something to bring about. We all have something. We all have something within our spirits. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. What did you read in the morning? That's what you have. What did you read yesterday? That's what you have. So you have, it could be for God to love the world. That's what you have. You have to bring it out. Now, Apollos, right, if you look at Acts chapter 18, 24, 26, the Bible reads, now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. That's all he knew, but he was accurate in that. And he was diligent in that. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So here's a man who was on fire with one message, and that was the baptism of John the Baptist. You can be on fire with one message. Just one message. Just one. You don't need six. You can be just one message. And through that one message, God can use you as a vehicle to bring about his word unto his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Aquila, number one, Apollos was somebody who was eloquent and mighty in scriptures. And also, he was instructed in the ways of the Lord. So when he spoke, he knew what he was talking about. His resources were the scriptures. He was confident and bold enough that what I'm talking about is not my message. This is God's message using me as a vehicle. So I will speak it eloquently. I will speak it with boldness. I will speak it without favoritism. I'll just speak it because it's not my message. Now, look at this. Aquila and Priscilla's wife, who had more knowledge of the scriptures, took it upon themselves to explain scriptures to Apollo in detail. They saw the man had a zeal. The man, you know, he was a deep well of information, but he still lacked something. See, Paul, a scripture where Paul said, I desire or I long to come that I might supply what is lacking in your faith. See, each one of us, we lack something in our faith. But how will I be able to be equipped in that which I'm lacking if I'm not planted in the house of God? If I'm a, you know, we used to call them cruisermatics back in Africa. They keep cruising from one church to the other. If somebody offends them, they move. If they're not happy with the preaching, they move. They are cruising, they're always cruising. In the end, they don't grow. A rolling stone does what? Gathers no what? No moth. But the key is, if you are planted, you'll be able to become instructed in the ways of God. Listen, we need to be instructed in the ways of God. Amen. We need to be, you know, we need to be rich with the word of God. For the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Which means you have to apply yourself so this word can dwell in you richly. Without applying yourself, it's impossible. Listen, I can't have Pastor Fink lay his hands on me and believe that every word that he has in him will be imparted in me. I might get his spirit, but I have to study on my own. I have to apply myself on my own. Okay, let's talk about the palm tree. Oh, number first of all, spiritual growth and development will come as a result of sitting under anointed teachings and preaching of the word of God. Placing oneself in a good spiritual environment. See, a tree that sits under a shade of another tree will not develop fully. It won't grow as it ought to grow because it's under another shade. It won't get the sunlight that it needs as an individual tree. But if it's uprooted and placed in its own place or its own, you know, its own area where the sunlight, where the atmosphere is conducive, it'll begin to grow as it ought to grow. See, we can talk about a child that is growing in a home where there is just a crazy, toxic, you know, atmosphere, where there's physical abuse, where there's verbal abuse. Listen, they can grow up. They can grow up physically, but emotionally, mentally, they can be stunted. So there are some people, you can tell by the way they walk. You can tell in their body language, something is not right. They are fully grown up, but you can tell how they walk, you know, how they look upon themselves, because they've been beaten too much by, you know, verbal abuse, you name it. So, like I said, you can plant a seed in a particular environment, but if the climate is wrong, the seed won't grow. It won't bear any fruit. So the key is, you can only grow and develop. So it's about growing and developing. See, when I was born, I wasn't like this. I had to develop into a young man, into a man. So you have to develop also as a Christian. You can't always be immature and always drinking milk. You have to begin to eat the meat of the word of God. When that happens, you also have to begin to become a teacher of what you've learned. See, we are taught so we can be able to teach others as well. We are not taught so we can just sit on what we are taught. When you receive, you have to release. Receive, release. Receive, release. When you do that, you get to grow and develop more. Somebody say amen. So, a palm tree. There are over 2,500 species of palm trees. The acacia family of plants includes wonderfully diverse species found throughout the world, from the desert to the rainforest. Note, the body of Christ is full of diversity. And God takes delight in watching people from diverse cultures and backgrounds living and worshiping together through the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He takes delight in that. I think it would be boring if all of us were the same. If all of us were the same, it would be boring. It would be unattractive. But God enjoys, you know, he loves it when he sees his people from different cultures come together and worship under the same spirit. Amen. See, we all were bought and redeemed with the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have the same DNA. We have the same spiritual DNA in us through the blood of Jesus under one Father. See, if you look at my family, my kids, my daughter has my complexion. She doesn't have a mother's complexion. But she has her mother's DNA. She has my DNA. If you look at Levi, he's dark skin, but he's got curly hair. But he has my DNA. It's got his mother. If you look at Joshi and Manny, they are light skinned, but they are both our kids. The same is like that also in the body of Christ. We look different, but we have the same Father. Yes. Under the same Spirit. Yes. So the Lord takes delight in seeing diversity within his body. We all have different personalities. Or was it wrong way? See, we all have different personalities. And the bottom line is, see, God can use your personality for his glory. Sometimes we write people off because of their personalities. But the truth is, only God knows what you have on the inside. See, we are made out of clay with this treasure inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit. It's not about how I look on the inside. It's about what God has put inside of me. And that's what God looks at. And look, talk about the 12 disciples. They were all different. Peter was impulsive. He spoke before he thought. But God still used him. John was quiet, but God still used him. There was Bartholomew, the son of thunder, with a bad temper, but God still used him. They are different personalities. They were fighting among themselves concerning who was the greatest, but God still used them. Why? Because God's primary purpose is to have his message transported and spoken out. See, how shall they hear if nobody speaks? And how shall they go if nobody sends them? We have been sent already by Jesus. Go ye into the world and make disciples of one nation, no, of all nations, from diverse cultures, different races. Make disciples of those nations. Why? Because I've given you the keys and I've equipped you to do that, which is my Spirit. But you have to study and show thyself approved so you can be able to explain my scriptures properly. A workman not ashamed, but somebody who expounds the word of God accurately. Somebody say amen. So, God can use us despite our personalities. Just like the palm trees, they're different, but they all come under the same family. Next. So let's look at the characteristics of a palm tree relating to the believer. Number one, they grow upright. They grow upright. Hallelujah. Palm trees have an ability to grow straight up, always looking up towards heaven. The palm tree grows to great heights, sometimes even 100 feet. They grow upward toward the light. Chapter 14, verse 2 of Proverbs says, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his eyes despises him. In other words, when a person fears the Lord, they will always do the right thing. They will always place themselves on a righteous path. But if somebody is devious, they will always go against God's commands. They will always do what is pleasing unto their own eyes. They will always do what the world tells them to do. See, if I have to grow, I have to grow upward. When you grow upward, it means you're going toward the things of God. But if I grow sideways, I'm going toward the world. So how is your growth? Are you growing sideways or are you growing upward? The Bible says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of Bill Cosby. No, the word of... I'm going to stop right there. But hearing the word of the Lord. That's how faith comes. You keep watching soap operas. You keep watching those TV shows and not feeding yourself. Listen, you won't be able to grow. You won't develop spiritually. You might become so informed about the worldly matters, but when it comes to the gospel, you go, boom, quiet every time the gospel is brought up. But if they start talking about certain things of the world, about politics, you are the first person. Yeah, blah, 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 because that's what you feed yourself with. Okay. Psalm 11, verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Jesus said, I have loved righteousness. And because of that, you've anointed me with the oil of joy. When a person takes the righteous path, they will always be happy. They will be full of joy. Things won't be the way they want them to be, but they'll still have this joy on the inside because they've loved righteousness. See, when a person is walking upright, or when a person is doing the right thing, walking in the ways of the Lord, they will have boldness to come before God. But when a person has some sin in their lives, right, consistent sin, it puts them in a place where they'll have that complex of not even coming boldly before the Lord. Listen, sin will make a person have the fear of going before the Father. They always feel condemned. There's always something condemning them over and over and over. You see, Paul said, I strive by all means to maintain a clear conscience before God and before man. If my conscience toward man is clogged up, I won't have any confidence to go before that man. If my conscience before God is clogged up, I won't have the confidence to go and pray before him. But if my conscience is clear through repentance, because you all fall short. But if my conscience is clear through repentance, then guess what? I'll be able to go before the Father like nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever. If anybody thinks they're perfect, I think I need to go sit under them. I need to learn how they're always walking without stumbling. I need to learn how to do that. I should. So anyway, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and the upright will behold his face, meaning you behold his face, you'll be able to come before him with boldness. You won't be ashamed of the coming of coming before him. Okay, number two, palm trees are not affected by drought. Whatever the weather conditions, palm trees are not affected in any way until they are cut down. The life of the palm, however, is not affected by any surface injury. It can be cut down, it can be chopped down. It's not affected. Psalm 37, verse 17 to 20. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. See, God takes care of his people even in a time of famine. Yeah. Genesis 41:53. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt was bread. Somebody say bread. There was bread to eat. Genesis 1:05-16:25. Moreover, he caught for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They heard his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. There will come a time when the word of God is going to test you. Are you going to stand or are you going to give up? The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. He is a foreigner teaching foreigners wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham, and made them stronger than their enemies. He taught not to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. Now, you got to understand something here. See, God had a plan. See, God sees the end from the beginning. So when he spoke to Abraham in the book of Genesis, he told him his descendants shall be slaves in a foreign land for how many years? 400 years. But God had a plan. See, nothing happens before God without intent. God always has intent behind whatever happens, because he is the God of all flesh. So the Lord sent Joseph in advance. Why? Because he wanted to preserve Israel. Now, how did Joseph get to Egypt? He went through a difficult time. He was sold as a slave. He was in Potiphar's house. He was sent into jail. In the end, he became governor of Egypt. Listen, God has a plan for all of us. But how we get to that point where he wants to use us, it's up to him. Ours is to occupy and be faithful in the house where you are planted. Some people think they'll grow and develop and be used mightily without being planted in the house of God. That's fantasy. It's not going to happen. You have to be planted in the house of God. When you do that, when you submit to authority, godly appointed authority, then God's favor rests upon you. See, the Bible says, submit to your leaders. Otherwise, if you don't, it won't be well for you. Now, it doesn't mean that leaders have to lord their faith over you. What it means is this. If you don't submit to your leaders, right, then you won't be fed by them. If you despise your leaders, right, what happens is every time they come to feed you, you won't be open, and your growth is going to be stunted. That's what it means then. But if you are open and they feed you, you are going to grow. If you make a mistake, you'll be open for correction. They'll correct you. You are going to grow and develop. So my point is, God always has a plan. But he sent Joseph for a reason. Now, Joseph, right, if you look at, you know, the entire situation, right, he was a man that was able to distribute food evenly within Egypt. Why? Because Joseph was a wise man. Joseph was a good administrator. See, Joseph was a man who was well equipped for that job. See, before a person can even get to the place where God begins to use them, you know, mightily, they need to be equipped first of all. You gotta be equipped. The Bible says, the fivefold ministry is there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which means if a person is not planted, they won't be equipped. Now, who is there to equip you? It's the fivefold ministry. They are the ones with the authority and the anointing to equip you for the work of the ministry. But if you're not attached or plugged into a ministry or a church, you won't grow in that area. You won't be equipped. You won't be instructed in the ways of God. Now, Joseph was instructed in the ways of the Egyptians. He understood how the Egyptians lived, such that when his brothers went to see him, they couldn't recognize him. He looked like an Egyptian. But in the end, when he took off his disguise, they realized, this is our brother Joseph. But the bottom line is, he was a man that was wise, a man that was well instructed in the ways of the Egyptian lifestyle. Somebody say amen. Okay, number three, the palm tree is an evergreen tree. Evergreen. The palm tree is perennially green throughout all seasons. All seasons. The Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. Life flows within its being continually and keeps it fresh. Rains may fail, or there might be a drought. Storms may shake and sway the tree with great force, but nothing happens to the palm tree. I remember two winters back, I was, because you know, the best time to trim the trees is in the winter. So I was in my backyard, I was cutting the tree branches, and I cut this tree. It looked dry, but when I broke it, guess what? It was green on the inside. It looked brown on the outside, but it was green on the inside. See, it was the winter season, but it was still green. Why was that tree still green? It was because of the level of the depth of its roots. See, its roots had sunk deeper within the ground where there was still water. And because of that, even though it was dead on the outside, it was green on the inside. If your roots are sunk deeper in the things of God, into Jesus, and plugged into the house of God, you can be dying on the outside, but on the inside, you still be alive. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will keep you alive on the inside. Why? Because the things you learn will keep you alive on the inside. Somebody say amen. It's about our roots sinking deeper. Psalm 1 verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, like doesn't say some things he does, whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever, not some. Now, sometimes we limit ourselves and we also limit God. Or maybe some things we shall do, but the Bible says whatever. Whatever means whatever he does shall prosper. We have to start thinking like that. We need to get ourselves out of this box and break out of limitations. We got to get out of that because our God is a big God. See, the sky is not the limit. God is the limit. When you get to the sky, when you get to Mars, you can't go any further. That's it. When you get to Pluto, that's it. But God is eternal. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. Situations came, but because the roots or your roots are deep in Christ, it doesn't matter what comes along your path. It's like a palm tree. I think he was in Florida, right? There's a lot of them. There's been hurricanes there, but have you ever seen those things uprooted? They just go. It doesn't matter how big the hurricane is. Why? Because their roots have gone deeper within the ground. So number three, palm trees cannot be grafted into another. They can't be. My point is this. It's impossible to graft a palm tree into another palm tree. If that were to be done, the palm tree would die. It has this unique character of identity. See, it's impossible for a believer to draw or attain their spiritual identity by attaching themselves to the system of the world. It's impossible to grow and develop spiritually when you're attached to the system of the world. It's impossible. See, we are in the world, but not of the world. So we are supposed to be relevant within the world, but our source, our resources should not be dependent upon the world. Because in times of drought will come. What's going to happen? Some people, they'll lose their jobs. What's going to happen? That's a time to dig deeper in your faith. Are you going to look to Jesus or are you going to despair? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That was a song way back. Dum, da, dum, dum, ba, bum, bum. When the going gets tough, you keep going. Because why? Because you're planted in Jesus. See, believers have their unique identity in Christ. Their life support comes from His Holy Spirit. See, our identity is not in the cars we drive. It's not in the houses we live in. It's not in the clothes we wear. It's not in that job. Our identity, spiritual identity, has to be in Christ. Because when everything is taken away from me, I still need to remain standing. Because my identity is in Christ. If my car breaks down, if I had like some expensive car, it breaks down, I shouldn't despair. It's just it's material. It deteriorates. But my life in Christ does not. Every day I'm growing from glory to glory. You might look like you are fading on the outside, but if you're planted, seasons will change, you still stand. Somebody say amen. Number four, palm trees point to a place of hidden water reservoirs. Palm trees have a very acute sense of finding water resources. Their roots go deep to find out water even in dry places. They have the ability to survive even in a desert. In a dry and weary land, Lord, I will find you. If my roots are in Jesus, I will find him wherever he is. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 reads, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever, not some, but whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It didn't say some of those. It says whoever. Listen, the water of life is for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. So whoever drinks of this water, when they get saved and they drink of this water, the Bible says, in him there shall be a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. John 7:37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus had to emphasize, as the scripture has said. Why did he say that? Because he wanted to simply make a point. See, whatever the scripture has said, it is true. In fact, the Bible says, don't add or take away from what we have learned already. See, the Holy Ghost is a source of every believer that desires to be filled. But you have to be in the right place. You can be filled in your car. You can be filled anywhere. But you have to be in the right place. You have to be in a place where the Holy Ghost will be able to work in your life. You have to be in an environment which allows the Holy Ghost to work. Sometimes we have to learn to step aside and let the Holy Ghost work. You step aside, let him work. When we do that, we see results. But if we keep standing in his way, we don't see results. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by his spirit. Somebody say amen. Note, the tallest palm tree can grow up to 197 feet tall. The Quindío wax palm tree is the tallest growing species of palm. The Coco de Mer palm tree has the largest seeds of any plant on earth. The seeds can be as large as 20 inches in diameter and as heavy as 66 pounds. So we are to continue to live in Christ, to be rooted in him, to be built up in him, and to be established in him. Because he alone has the power to help us grow and be established. Now, verse 12 of Psalm 92 says that the righteous shall grow like the cedar tree. Commonly referred to as the cedars of Lebanon, this aromatic, durable wood was highly desirable for building in Iron Age Israel. David used it in building his palace. And Solomon used it also in constructing of the temple and the palace for himself. Now look at this. The cedar of Lebanon is a slow grower, growing only around 10 inches a year when young under ideal situations. Now once the roots are established, it grows bigger. You get the point? See, spiritual growth has to be gradual. It has to be slow. I mean, how scary it would be if all of us were born big. Pop! Hi! How are you? That would be scary, right? The Bible says, don't despise the day of the small beginnings. Anybody who's been successful began small. They didn't begin just like that. But the key is, spiritual growth is slow. See, when the Lord uses trees as an example, it's for a reason. You have to do some deeper studies. There's a meaning behind it. Like I said, there's always some intent in whatever God does. This tree is a slow grower, but it is durable, aromatic, and was desirable for building in Iron Age Israel. Okay, Luke 2, 41 to 52. Let me just wrap this thing up. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, not the preachers, but the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously. They became anxious. See, anxiety in their heart will cause depression, but a good word will make it glad. He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. See, the strange thing is, they went back to their house thinking Christ was with them. When they discovered he was not with them, they began looking for him among their friends, among their acquaintances. But they found him in the temple. See, there comes a time in our lives when all of us feel like we are lost, like things are not working out, and we look for answers in the wrong places. We seek answers in the wrong places. Answers are found in this book right here, and also by virtue of being in fellowship with your brothers and your sisters. They found Jesus sitting in the temple, listening to the teachers. As a 12-year-old kid, do you feel lost? Do you feel, you know, misunderstood? Do you feel like things are not working out fine? Seek the face of God. Take a fast. Go on your knees and pray to your Father who is in heaven. He hears you. When the righteous cry out, God does what? He hears. If you cry out, he's going to hear you. Don't be shy when you go before God. There was a man who was very shy. And what happened was, he was in debt. And so he told his wife, listen, we have to get out of this debt. But I'm embarrassed to ask for money. Then they came up with a plan, like, you know what, let's do this. We are going to pretend you died. So word went around that he died. And people came for the funeral. So they put him in a coffin. And they were taking him to the gravesite. And his wife is like, listen, hey, they're going to bury you alive. You need to get out of there. Guess what he said? I'm shy. And so he was buried alive because he was shy. It's just a story, please. It's not true. But what I'm telling you, sometimes shyness will cause you to let the things of God pass you by. You have to understand, it's not about you or me, it's about him, it's about the Lord himself. The message we have is not ours, it's his message. We're simply vessels through whom the message comes through. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, Jesus as a young boy was under a strong spiritual umbrella. Most of all, he was subject to the counsel and administration of his earthly parents. Cedar trees can only be started by seeds which come from female cones and can be difficult to germinate. It may take up to 30 years before producing any cones. See, the only seed that had the power to bring forth fruit that would be free from damnation was Jesus, who did not begin his ministry until he was, what, 30 years old. He had to be instructed in the ways of life and in certain ways as well. 30 years old. The cedar tree takes 30 years to become effective. In other words, spiritual growth is a slow process, but it happens when you're planted in the house of God. Here was a seed that was planted by God, which eventually died for mankind on the cross. Jesus, just as much as God took care of Jesus, he can also take care of those who are planted in his house. See, God is faithful to give increase to whatever has been planted. Somebody say amen. With that being said, I'll hand over to Pastor Fink. Amen. God bless you.